Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, November 8th. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Southern Humboldt weighs in on presidential election outcome. California's congressional race could decide the control of the 119th Congress. And the KMUD News Sports Report. Stay tuned. News on those stories and more coming right up. The Humboldt County Office of Elections has announced it will continue to post updates on the November 5th, 2024 general election results every Friday by 5 p.m. until the election is certified before Tuesday, December 3rd. As of Thursday, November 7th, there are approximately 33,981 unprocessed ballots. 2,000 are provisional. Nearly 32,000 are vote by mail, and 34 ballots are from voting locations. All valid vote by mail ballots postmarked by Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th, and received by Tuesday, November 12th, will be counted, regardless of the race outcomes. According to the current post-election night results, Humboldt County voted roughly 60% Democrat and 40% Republican. Humboldt County would help all Democratic candidates for the Senate, Assembly, and Congress win their seats. Humboldt County's voting trends aligned with state statistics, with California voting for Kamala Harris over Donald Trump. Harris secured 58% of the state's vote, making California one of her strongest states. However, former President Donald Trump would take the victory over the current vice president, winning 69 more electoral votes and 4 million more popular votes. Similar to state trends, third-party candidates Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an independent, and Jill Stein, Green Party, received around 1% of the vote, each without securing any electoral votes. Notably, California's rate of third-party voting was double to the national average. In local races, it appears that all incumbents for the Eureka and Arcata City Council are likely to retain their seats. However, there is a close contest between Alex Stillman and Genevieve Cerna. Measure O, the 1 cent sales tax to maintain county roads, is projected to pass, while Measure F is likely to fail. And again, final results in Humboldt County will be announced either on or before December 3rd. For more information on election results, you can visit the county's election results webpage at humboldtgov.org or contact the Office of Elections at 707-445-7481. KMUD News spent part of the afternoon at the Garberville Farmers Market, where we asked attendees about their reactions to the presidential outcome.
I feel exhausted by it. That's it. It's just exhausted.
Trump used to do wrestling. You know the, like, WWE? And I kind of think he plays the same character, except now he's our president, and that's a little f***ed up. That's how I feel.
Still digesting. I made the mistake of getting my hopes up for a second that we would avert disaster, and now I'm trying to come to terms with where this bleep show is going. Expect the worst, and hopefully if it's going to be less than the worst, then we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Would you like to comment on how this election played out?
Well, my personal theory is that J.D. Vance is the guy. Trump was the kind of the salesperson, but J.D. Vance has the big money behind him because of his association with Silicon Valley. We're just talking about the lithium deposits and so on, and the contracts are going to be out there. So it's about probably that kind of an IT and AI. It's something we need to keep aware of. I think AI could be a very positive in many ways, but then there could be a very dangerous part of it. It seems to be about business, you know. Isn't that they say the business of America is business? So I think it is about business and, you know, business angles. And I don't know if it'll dribble down to the average working schmo. I don't know.
I voted for Jill Stein, so I wasn't really anticipating a win, but she was the only candidate that would actually stand on an anti-war platform, which was infuriating to me. So I wasn't particularly surprised how it went. I think the Democrats kind of dropped the ball on a lot of key issues that they didn't really proceed enough. Seems as though she would tell you one story and then tell the next people another story. You know, that was kind of not for me. I didn't buy into it. Somebody told me a while ago, and it still rings true to me, that the two things that we could do as the citizens of this country to eliminate it, the problems, is campaign finance reform and term limits for senators. What do they make, like $100,000 a year, and they're all worth millions? Like, where does the money come from?
I've got a calm my spirit appointment right now with Sheila that I have to get to.
You're getting acupuncture in response.
Yes.
What I learned about my countrymen and women, they're okay being stupid.
It's harsh.
They're okay with that.
That's harsh.
I know, but I mean, partly trying to stay distracted and then also getting into baby steps and see what we can do, try to do good works in life that help people. So that's our foundation.
I work on my spirituality. I don't pay to that stuff. It's like those politics ain't gonna help me if I die tomorrow, so why let it disrupt me today?
I'm with him, you know. It's just a waste of energy, you know, like focusing on hate and this and that. Like, focus on yourself, be you, let it ride itself out.
Oh, I'm very happy with the results. I was really worrying about nuclear warming of the earth and all the crazy wars they've gotten us into. Yeah, so I'm really glad that we've got somebody to take down the dark state finally.
Donald Trump was your candidate.
Oh yeah, definitely. Just like Putin said, the vampire ball is just about over. Amen.
Go Trump, go Trump. Woo, Trump 20, whatever it is.
Again, that audio was from anonymous community members sharing their thoughts on the outcome of the 2024 general election. On the state level, California voters decided on 10 ballot propositions addressing issues like crime, rent control, education, and climate change. With about 60% of ballots counted, here are the preliminary results, according to our news partner, CalMatters. California voters granted a constitutional right to same-sex marriage, restored longer prison sentences for certain drug and property crimes, and approved state borrowing of billions to tackle climate change and repair schools. However, the measures to allow cities to impose rent control or ease local government borrowing for housing and infrastructure both failed. Here's the breakdown. Propositions 2 and 4 passed. Voters approved two bond measures allowing the state to borrow $10 billion for K-12 school and community college repairs, and another $10 billion to address climate change, including improvements to drinking water and programs for extreme heat and wildfire. Proposition 3 passed and guarantees same-sex couples an equal right to marry, aiming to safeguard the right against potential future Supreme Court challenges. Proposition 5 failed. This measure aimed to lower the vote threshold for local governments to pass bonds for affordable housing and infrastructure projects, reducing it from 2/3 to 55%. Proposition 6 is likely to fail. Stemming from the state's reparations task force, it sought to eliminate a constitutional exception allowing forced labor during criminal punishment. Polls suggest it is headed for defeat. Proposition 32 remains undecided. This measure proposes raising the state's minimum wage to $18 per hour in January for larger employers. Supporters argue it would benefit about 2 million low-wage workers, while opponents, including the Chamber of Commerce, claim it would lead to higher food prices. Propositions 33 and 34 failed, both measures related to local rent control. Prop 33, supported by tenant advocates and the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, would have permitted stricter rent control measures. Prop 34 was an attempt by the apartment lobby to restrict the foundation's financial activities. Voters were generally unsupportive of Prop 33 and undecided on Prop 34 in recent polling. Prop 35 passed. This measure, backed by the healthcare industry, makes permanent a tax on healthcare plans, ensuring the revenue supports providers serving low-income patients through Medi-Cal. It was supported by major hospitals and doctor groups, but faced opposition from smaller healthcare providers. Prop 36 has passed. This measure, supported by some district attorneys and moderate Democrats, but opposed by Governor Gavin Newsom, will partly undo sentencing reforms from the 2014 Prop 47. It reclassifies certain drug and theft offenses as felonies and creates a new category of, quote, treatment-mandated, end quote, crimes, requiring defendants to undergo drug treatment or face prison time. Several key national races remain uncalled, including the battle for control of the House of Representatives. A party needs 218 seats to secure the majority. Currently, Republicans hold a narrow lead in the chamber, but Democrats were hopeful that high voter turnout this election could help them regain control. As of this newscast, 13 key races are still undecided, including a tight contest in California's 13th district. Republicans need 6 more seats to secure a majority, while Democrats require 17. The California district, located in the San Joaquin Valley, is one of the uncalled races. We go to Vic Bedoyan with KPFA for more details.
Incumbent Republican John Duarte was elected to the 13th Congressional District in 2022 by a 564-vote margin over his Democratic challenger, Adam Gray. As the contest now stands for this election, Duarte is leading Gray by more than 3,000 votes. That's 51.4%. That's with all precincts partially reporting. The tally will change as vote-by-mail ballots, provisional ballots, and others are counted. In an election night interview with Sacramento's ABC Channel 10, Duarte countered Adam Gray, casting him as a loyal MAGA Republican.
Heritage Action rates all the Republicans in Congress, all the Democrats in Congress, based on their very right-leaning voting scorecard. I am the most moderate Republican in the entire House of Congress. So I don't know what my opponent's talking about, don't really care. I know I'm a moderate. Not to be a moderate for itself, but because that's what serves my district well, and I'm going to continue to vote my district.
Duarte said border security and immigration reform are his top priorities. In the South Valley, another rematch took place in the 22nd district, covering much of Kern, Tulare, and Kings counties. Republican incumbent David Valadao is vying for his 5th term in Congress. He is currently ahead of his opponent, former Assemblyman Rudy Salas, by a margin of 10 points, a lead of nearly 10,000 votes. Again, that's with all precincts partially reporting, but with unprocessed ballots still being counted. In a recent debate on Bakersfield's KGET television, the two debated immigration, a key issue in the Valley. Valadao was asked how he would confront the mass deportation of undocumented immigrants that President-elect Trump is threatening to bring about. His response was the stock Republican talking point.
Just last week, I sent a letter over to one of my colleagues from Texas, Tony Gonzalez, and ICE admitted that there's over 400,000 convicted criminals that have snuck across our border in this country. We've got about 15,000 of them that are convicted murderers, and about 13,000 are convicted rapists. So when we talk about the idea of sending people back across the border, I'd say those are the first we start with.
Valadao talked about legislation to help farm workers that he has put forward, but pointedly did not mention mass deportations. Rudy Salas, however, put it front and center, describing what he has heard directly from the community during his campaign.
They come up to me and they're scared. They're scared about the rhetoric that's coming from the other side. They're scared for their parents. They're scared for their grandparents. They're scared for themselves when the Trump administration was talking about taking away people's citizenship, even if they're born here. Those are things that are scaring a lot of people out in the community, something that we need to move away from and make sure that people are safe.
Salas added that there needs to be a pathway for citizenship for immigrants who have made a life in the Valley. In the lone Democrat-held district in the Southern Valley, Jim Costa is holding on to a slim lead of less than 1% over GOP challenger Michael Maher for the 21st Congressional District seat. In 2022, Costa won by over 8%. The final tally for the rest of the ballots could take a week or more. The Secretary of State says the results will be certified by December 13th. Vic Bedoyan reporting for KPFA News and KFCF Radio.
The annual Wild and Scenic Film Festival is back, featuring a diverse selection of films focused on nature, adventure, and environmental activism. This year's event includes documentaries and short films that highlight pressing environmental issues, celebrate outdoor exploration, and showcase inspiring stories of grassroots efforts. The festival is not only a celebration of environmental filmmaking, but also serves as a major fundraiser for local environmental nonprofits. Proceeds support groups working on conservation, habitat restoration, and sustainable practices right here in our region. Justin Krellen with Friends of the Lost Coast shares more.
We're a nonprofit organization that is based in Whitethorn, and we've been around since the year 2000, and we provide education, stewardship, and youth programs and partner with King Range National Conservation Area and other public land holdings in the Lost Coast, all those areas.
This Sunday, November 10th, Friends of the Lost Coast is hosting their exclusive Humboldt County showing of the Wild and Scenic Film Festival at the Arcata Theater Lounge. The event features 12 specially selected films with live music, highlighting the best environmental filmmaking. Proceeds from the event will support the education and stewardship programs of Friends of the Lost Coast.
That's right. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. This is our ninth year presenting the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, and we've hosted it mostly in Southern Humboldt for those years. The last couple of years, we've taken it up to Arcata Theater Lounge, and so we'll be presenting it again this year at the Arcata Theater Lounge on Sunday, November 10th, as well as on demand. And this year, we're doing a custom program. Which means Friends of the Lost Coast selected all the films that are going to be showcased to showcase independent environmental films. And this year we have 12 different films that will be included in our custom program. And it really covers the whole gamut of global environmental issues. So we have lots of stories that generate from the United States, as well as some from Africa, India, Canada, Sumatra, the UK, and others. And so it's really a nice mix of films that we're going to be screening this year. Everything from indigenous issues, including a local film called Paddle Tribal Waters, which is about a local group of indigenous youth that are being documented in a whitewater kayaking adventure of the Klamath River as one of the first runs from source to sea after the removal of the Klamath Dam. So we're really excited to be showcasing that. We also have another locally relevant film about kelp forests and the threats that they're under. And then there's also stuff that's relevant to the Pacific Northwest. There's a film about the Pacific lamprey. But really, there's a lot of stuff for folks that want to learn more about all the different films that we're showcasing. They can go to our website, lostcoast.org. That's also where they can get tickets. There's descriptions for all the different films we're going to be screening, as well as trailers for most of them. And it's going to be an incredible evening.
You can visit their website, lostcoast.org, to pre-order discounted tickets for the in-person showing in Arcata, or purchase virtual tickets to enjoy from home. All proceeds benefit Friends of the Lost Coast.
We rely on the support of our community to further our programs. We have a ton of programs for a really small staff, And so we really rely on the community both for volunteerism as well as for donations and support like that. The Wild and Scenic Film Festival is a great way for folks to both, you know, get a great night out or be able to view the films on demand. And the purpose of the films is to inspire a passion for nature, which is aligned with our mission and also a call to action. And so this is a great way for folks to be able to experience these incredible films and also support our work. And so all proceeds from the event support Friends of the Lost Coast. And then for those who come up to the live event, they're able to support us through the silent auction. And then in addition to that, folks who buy their tickets online, there's an option in addition to purchasing the ticket to also support through a donation as part of your ticket package. And so, again, all tickets, advanced tickets, are available online only. And each ticket, whether people go to the in-person event or not, includes a link to view the films on demand, and that link is good for 5 days. So starting on Sunday, November 10th, which is the day of the show, and then the on-demand link will remain good through the 15th of November. So plenty of time for folks to do that. And the reason we do the on-demand tickets is since we moved the show up north to Arcata, and most of our core support is down here in southern Humboldt, this is a great way for folks to be able to still support us, even if they're not able to make the trek up there. But of course, we encourage folks to come out to the live event. Doors will open at 6 o'clock. There's live music with the band Bandemonium. One of the groups that's affiliated with the Paddle Tribal Waters event is actually going to be representing, so we're excited to have them there. And yeah, it's going to be an awesome evening. And we just encourage everybody to come out to support Wild and Scenic Film Festival, Friends of the Lost Coast, and the work that we do in the community.
Once again, the Wild and Scenic Film Festival takes place this Sunday, November 10th, at the Arcata Theater Lounge, with virtual viewing options available. For more details and to watch the trailers of the films, you can head to lostcoast.org. Ray Hamill brings us the details of all the big local sports stories of the week, including all of the latest high school and college football news and updates on how the local teams are faring in this week's NCS volleyball and soccer playoffs in this report.
A pair of HDNL High School Football Conference Championships will be up for grabs this weekend in the final round of regular season games. Hello and welcome to this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on that story in just a moment, and we'll also take a look at the other big local sports stories of the week, including all the latest high school and college football news, some college basketball, some North Coast Section playoff volleyball, and updates on how the NCS soccer playoffs are shaping up. But first up, the local high school football season is winding down, and two HDNL teams claimed at least a share of their respective conference championships last weekend. The Arcata Tigers rolled to a 60-6 win over Hoopa on Friday night to keep their perfect season going as they improved to 5-0 in the Little Four and 9-0 overall. The win also secured at least a share of this year's Little Four championship, and the Tigers can clinch the title outright with a win in their final game of the regular season at Ferndale on Saturday afternoon. Kickoff for that game is set for 2 p.m. The Wildcats also won last weekend, defeating McKinleyville 56-0 and improving to 4-1 in conference play and 8-1 overall. The Cats remain in the chase for a share of the Little Four title, and a win on Saturday would secure a co-championship. Also in the Little Four this weekend, McKinleyville will play at Hoopa on Friday night. The Panthers are winless on the season, while Hoopa is 3-6, including a 1-4 record in the Little Four. In the Big Four, meanwhile, the Del Norte Warriors clinched at least a share of a fifth straight conference championship last weekend, with a 22-7 win over Eureka at the Redwood Bowl. The win was the sixth straight for Del Norte, which improved to 7-2 on the season and 2-0 in the Big Four. The Warriors can clinch the conference title outright with a win at St. Bernard's on Saturday afternoon. Kickoff for that game is also set for 2 p.m. However, Eureka and Fortuna each are 1-1 in conference play, and one of them can still share this year's championship if the Warriors should lose to the Crusaders. Fortuna and Eureka will face off in their regular season finales at Husky Field in Fortuna on Friday night, with kickoff set for 7:30 p.m. The South Fork Cubs, meanwhile, won for the second straight weekend with a 38-8 win at Calistoga in eight-person football on Friday night. The win lifted the Cubs to 2-2 in the North Central League 2, and it likely secured a playoff spot for the defending NCS champions. The Cubs will close out the regular season when they host Stuart Hall on Friday night. Two Mendocino County teams also remain in the chase for their conference championships. Willits closed out the regular season last week with a 23-0 win over Upper Lake, improving to 8-2 on the season and 7-1 in the North Central League 1. The Wolverines can share the championship with Kelseyville if the Knights lose their final game against St. Helena on Friday night. The Ukiah Wildcats also remain in the chase for the Redwood Empire Bay Conference title after a 40-14 win over Maria Carrillo that lifted them to 3-1 in conference and 6-3 overall. The Wildcats need to win at Annerley on Friday and hope conference leaders St. Vincent de Paul fall to Maria Carrillo. Fort Bragg, meanwhile, lost 16-6 to St. Helena last weekend and dropped to 5-4 on the season. The Timberwolves will close out the regular season at home against Lower Lake on Friday. The Laytonville Warriors will also close out the regular season on Friday night when they host Potter Valley. The Warriors had a bye last week and are 0-5 on the season, while Potter Valley is 1-6. In local college football, meanwhile, College of the Redwoods will play for the first time in almost a month when the Corsairs host De Anza College in a key showdown at the Redwood Bowl on Saturday afternoon. The Corsairs, who are 6-1, had two byes over the past 3 weekends and also saw a game at Yuba College cancelled when the 49ers backed out of a scheduled game 2 weeks ago. Both Sior and De Anza are undefeated in the American Pacific 7 Conference. Kickoff on Saturday is set for 2 p.m. Both College of the Redwoods basketball teams, meanwhile, tipped off their seasons this past weekend. The CR women hosted their own crossover tournament and went 1-1. The Corsairs defeated Napa Valley 61-53 in their opener before falling in overtime to Santa Rosa JC by a score of 74-69. The CR men traveled to compete at the Live Like Geno Foundation tip-off tournament at Napa Valley, and they opened with an 80-76 win over Sac City before falling 75-70 to Las Medanas and then closing out the weekend with a 78-66 win over the tournament hosts. In local high school volleyball, it was a disappointing weekend for the HDNL in the North Coast Section playoffs. On Saturday night, the final three remaining HDNL teams all lost their section quarterfinals. The Arcata girls, who were seeded number 2 in the Division 4 bracket, fell in 4 sets to number 7 Ensenal, while in Division 6, number 6 St. Bernard's fell in 4 sets at number 3 North Hills Christian, and number 10 Ferndale lost in straight sets at number 2 St. Vincent de Paul. Also in the Division 6 tournament, number 9 Laytonville fell in straight sets to number 1 San Francisco Waldorf, while number 4 Mendocino beat Grace Christian Academy in 4 sets to advance to the semifinals, where they fell in 4 sets to San Francisco Waldorf on Wednesday night. In NCS fall soccer, meanwhile, it was a great week for several local teams. On Wednesday, the South Fork girls won their playoff opener at Calistoga 1-0, while in boys action, Del Norte beat Lower Lake 7-3, Eureka won at the Bay School in San Francisco 2-0, McKinleyville beat Gateway 2-0, Arcata traveled to Fort Bragg and won 4-1, and Fortuna got a forfeit victory over Summit Tamalpais. All 11 HDNL teams to qualify for the soccer postseason will be in action this weekend, along with the Willits girls, who play at Arcata on Saturday afternoon. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Michael McCaskill. And thanks to our reporter, Ray Hamill. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.